Bring forth the royal dove. Brethren, the study of evil is a study that's throughout the scripture. From the time that Adam and Eve listened to the serpent, back there in Genesis chapter 3, in reference to their deception and that way that Satan wanted them to follow, it's a sad occasion. God had made a great plan of redemption for mankind, and it's discovered in the Bible that there are warnings that are given about certain ways of thought. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12 is one of those passages. And I'd like for you, if you could, to look at your Bible there on the pew tonight, if you have your own copy here with you, and look at the context in which these words are found. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Since God had particular periods of time and teaching people what to do in those periods of time, including animal sacrifices in the Mosaic time, he wanted people to follow with a context of study. We do not today tell people to go out and gather gopher wood, if we knew what it was, and build an ark for our salvation today. That was in the context of the days of the patriarchs and the days of Noah, who built that ark and spared himself and his family. It is the case that as we read these particular words about context, we understand that today we live in a time of the Christian dispensation, and Jesus plainly says that we ought to partake of the Lord's Supper, for example, in remembrance of his body and his blood that was broken and shed for us for the remission of our sins. And when Jesus took the disciples to heart in regard to what they said and did, he urged them to be people who would remember this until I come again. So we're in the context of the Lord's Supper. Moses never partook of the Lord's Supper. Noah never partook of the Lord's Supper. They were in a different dispensation of time, a different context for them than it is for us today. We look forward to the time in which the Lord will come again. We're told that there's no other time that is going to be allowed. In the book of Hebrews, in reference to this matter, we see that we sin willfully. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but only a certain looking for a fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. There is no other plan that God has in mind that is at the end of time. And thus in Hebrews 10, when it says, if we sin willfully, after that we receive this knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. It is the case that the sacrifice has once been given. And it is reference to Jesus Christ our Lord that it was once given. For in Hebrews 9, it tells us that very much when he says, Jesus suffered once for the sins of mankind. And unto them that look for him will appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So he's coming again at the end of our dispensation of time. And we look forward to that particular period of time in which we will have ultimate redemption and ultimate victory from these trials of evil that tempt us to get off base and away from the way, the truth, and the life. What is the context of Proverbs 14 and verse 12? There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. I want you to go with me up to verse number 7. He says regarding this matter, stay away from foolish men. I'm reading from the Revised Standard Version tonight in this because it is very plain and it's equally plain in the King James, but these words are direct. Stay away from foolish men, for you will not find knowledge on his lips. The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their way. But the folly of fools is deception. One of those contexts of the things that we will be seeing ourselves choosing to do that appears right unto us, but is a way of death, would be to have someone who is foolish in his ways and foolish in his decisions of life to tempt us. Do not trust someone else who has been down a road. If we have found ourselves in this period of time during this year, we have described it as a wet period of time. Rains have come. To go to your mailbox may be like we are going to our mailbox. We want to choose a path that is a little higher than lower in order to stay away from the wet and the muddy and so forth, in order to get up to the mailbox to get the materials that we would like to have ordered, or the letters that are mailed to us. Sometimes we're surprised by a letter that comes from just out of the blue, from somebody from way back yonder in days. Been thinking about you, and I want you to know you're in my prayers. Those kind of cards are encouraging cards. They're encouraging ways. What does the prudent man do? He makes sure of his steps. He remembers where the higher ground may be, where the grass may be, where the less wet and the less muddy is going to be, and as a result goes on his way. The choices of life that we analyze, and we should do that constantly, come to us at the Lord's day. As we analyze ourselves, as we evaluate ourselves, or as Jesus put it, as we examine ourselves, and Paul places it in the thoughts of those who partake of the Lord's Supper. We examine ourselves, and so let a man eat of this bread and drink of this fruit of the vine. Examining oneself tells me if I'm going down a prudent, wise man's way, or if I'm choosing to go splickety-splash into the wicked or the foolish man's way of travel. I'm going to look at that particular thought in mind as people talk with me and recommend to me a thing to do, a way to do, a way to go. I've chosen for several years. I have not had a car note in several years of time. And I talk with people who drive certain automobiles that I see frequently on the road. As a result of that, I purchase these automobiles that we have. Though they may be older models, I recognize that there are some people who've driven them way beyond the years and way beyond the miles that are listed on our mileage. And they have worked for them pretty well through the years, they say. And as a result of that, the way that I would drive them, the way that I would care for them, I feel like that they will last as long or longer than what they did. As a result of that, choose the kind of things that will be helpful to your business and life, and as a result, be a wise individual. When others recommend a certain way of life, and it's obviously, categorically, not the way to go, not the tool to have, not the business to associate with, then we know that following that way of foolishness will get us into trouble. Look what is noted in the follow-up of the context of Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of it leads to death. Look what he says there in verse number 14. The faithless will be fully repaid for their ways, and a good man rewarded for his. At verse 16, a wise man fears the Lord and shuns evil, but a fool is hot-headed and reckless. A quick-tempered man does foolish things, and a crafty man is hated. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Who's learning things, it tells me in this context? Someone who is following after people who set forth a way of violence, a way of wickedness, a way of temperament? Or someone who is walking about seeking knowledge, seeking information, being crowned with wisdom? Well, my teachers in school wrote two things on the board about a subject. I can safely say that we knew pretty well that was going to be on the test. When they wrote it on the board and underlined it a couple of times, be sure to write that in your notes. That's going to appear again on the test. That's something you'll be wise to do. In the scripture, in Proverbs 14, verse 12, it's not the only time it says it in these exact words. In Proverbs chapter 16 and down to verse 25, it notes to us the same words. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it are the ways of death, or leads to death. What will be the context in chapter 16? Will it be similar to chapter 14? Wise people around us making wise decisions to follow. Foolish people around us shun that way. Go away from that way. Well, look what he says here in Proverbs 16. And back up at verse number 16. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to choose understanding rather than silver. The highway of the upright avoids evil. He who guards his way guards his soul. Does that sound like going along with people and going a highway that is filled with danger on every turn, danger at every side, danger in the path? Or does it sound like the one who is wise in his ways is one who is doing better, learning what from the past, and as a result of that, is following the way that's wiser? We have all been associated with what we refer to as road hogs and road rage. I remember an old joke that was told by the late brother who's a wonderful friend and wonderful helper in the regard of my life and everything. He moved out into Texas and lived out there in Austin, Texas, where he suffered a fatal heart attack on his way home for lunch one day. Pulling into his driveway, he died there as a result of the fatal heart attack that occurred. He preached several times, three times in fact, over in Fulton, Mississippi. He preached there and left there, went to another place, came back to Fulton, they asked him to come back. He left there again after several years, and they came to him and asked him, please return again. He preached three times there in Fulton, Mississippi, the brethren there. They loved him, and they loved his ways. One time this good man told a story that we all laughed at and we all know the benefit of a man driving down a rural road on a mountainside. A big curve he was in. He was paying attention to what he was doing when a lady was driving an automobile up the mountainside, came close enough to him that it scared him. She thought it was his fault and shouted out to him, "Road hog!" He thought that was the case. Brother Jackson thought that was the case. Until he rounded the bend a little bit further, thought that she was telling him he was over there too close to the middle when he ran into a herd of hogs in the middle of the road. Road hog. She wanted him to understand there's something up ahead. But he went on his way thinking it meant something else. Instead of listening to people and thinking what it really may be, as Bill Jackson did on that occasion, why not make a decision on the highway with somebody who zipped on the back? It may very well be that's the best decision you make all day and all month. Just to let that person go on. The thought that they have for life and the thought that they have for going on as they do can be dangerous to you and me. So it says here in Proverbs 16, there's a better way. Verse 19, better be lowly in spirit and among the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. When we find ourselves getting to do what they do, saying in reply what they say, we're not wise in the process of our decision making. After Proverbs 16:25, it tells us the following. Verse 27, 26 and 27. The laborer's appetite works for him, his hunger drives him on. A scoundrel plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire. A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. A violent man entices his neighbor and leads him down a path that is not good. He who winks his eye is plotting perversity, and he who purses his lips is bent on evil. Gray hair is the crown of glory. It is attained by a righteous life. Better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper, than one who takes a city. What's my context of Proverbs 16:25? The same context I see in Proverbs 14:12. Get around wise people and make wise decisions with the information you have in front of you. And instead of being a person who goes into trouble and gets into trouble and is in danger and in doing evil, it's a way that appears right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Let's not follow those paths in our daily walk of life. Let's follow the path of the Lord in a righteous way. And when we get white hair on our head and do the right thing, by the Lord's sake, there is a blessing yet ahead that's larger than anything in this life we've ever enjoyed. What a blessing. This song tonight reminds us of where we are and what we do, because sometimes we're almost persuaded, but not quite. And we appear to find ourselves following our own way. And that's not a wise thing to do, as we see in these contexts of Proverbs 14 and Proverbs 16. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Would you come as we stand, as we sing together?
Almost persuaded now to
Jesus. kind Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we had the opportunities to gather together today in your name, to study your word, to worship thee, the one true living God. We thank you, Father, for all